Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of September, recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. First, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly steady. Some strong gains by some of the ASEAN stock markets there. The European stock markets seesawed in a very narrow range, mostly closing with small losses. The Americas had a similar pattern to that, and again with Wall Street, which was quite strong yesterday, just giving up a tiny bit of ground, down about a quarter of a percent on the NASDAQ and the S&P index. Now, long-dated government bond prices, which had been quite weak over the preceding 3 to 4 weeks, JGBs accepted, but the treasuries, U.S. treasuries, and treasuries in particular, saw quite a strong rebound, with the long bond up a point and a half. That's the future. So yields down a bit, and the European stock futures also were firmer today, showing a loss of downside momentum and steadying within a range. Now, in currencies, the U.S. dollar was soft here today, with the dollar index down to 80.46. Interesting developments in the commodities. The grain and bean complex, which has been so strong recently, experienced some profit taking today, having seen some of those rallies fade yesterday. So small losses there. And that was balanced by a powerful upside move in orange juice, which has been range bound for some time. Cotton extended its acceleration upwards a little bit further. The industrial metals were mostly weaker here today. They've had a good run recently as well. One of the other sectors which has had a good run, but managed to maintain it today, gold and silver. It's a steady precious metals sector. Gold, interestingly, had been down early on, down to 1270.9, but then rallied sharply when Bernanke announced that the Fed was prepared to do whatever it required to foster growth, and that was really reiterating an earlier view to that effect. But the gold market liked it. The long-dated government bonds also liked it. Stock markets liked it initially, but couldn't hold the gains. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, September has been a terrific month to date. We've had some very substantial gains led by the ASEAN markets, but even the underperforming Western markets have had quite a good run. And we've had Wall Street push up above those May, June, and July highs as well. But we do have short-term overbought conditions pretty well across the boards. And that with the overall ranging patterns that we still see for the S&P and other markets. Yes, we broke above the highs of the last few months, but we're still beneath the April highs. And this short-term overbought condition, it would not be at all unreasonable to see some sort of consolidation here. But it would take, I think, some fairly significant downward dynamics to cause greater uncertainty in what has been a powerful overall performance led by the Asian markets and resources markets, which in many instances are well above their April highs I mean, India is a good example of that. It'd been range bound like all the others for many months, the better part of a year, but it surged in the last 3 weeks. And the Sensex index getting up to that psychological 20,000 level and quite close to the former high in 2008. So some psychological resistance up here, some short-term overbought conditions for sure around global stock markets, some trend acceleration among the best performers. So it wouldn't be surprising if we saw a bit of a pause and consolidation here, but will it be something bigger to the downside? Some analysts clearly think so. I would say that the strength overall that we've seen is impressive, and therefore, I think we may get a more contained, shallower, in other words, reaction and consolidation this time around. But seasonal factors suggest that we're not quite out of the woods in terms of choppy activity overall. Nevertheless, Fuller Money themes have performed exceedingly well for the most part, which is extremely gratifying. Crucial markets that needed to improve to offset the appearance of top formation development, none more so than the US stock markets, have put in, as I said, strong performances for the month of September to date. Now, looking further ahead, I wouldn't expect more at this stage than a mild pullback and some ranging activity, and I think we will end the year higher, as I've said all along. And with some markets, it could be substantially higher. And I think those gains will carry on into the new year. Long-dated government bond prices have fallen quite sharply. In other words, yields have backed up over the last 4 weeks. My hunch is that the lows that we saw for yields in August and at the beginning of this month are probably lows for at least the medium term as well. And certainly, if we get a steadier stock market performance backed by additional evidence of global economic recovery, led of course by Asia with the Western markets considerably underperforming, but nonetheless avoiding double dip recession. If we get that, I think that that would cause the yields to edge higher. Looking towards the end of the year, bond prices coming down, in other words, and a steady stock market performance would probably be matched by a steady stock market, I beg your pardon, a steady commodity market performance, which we've certainly seen in recent weeks. And the gains that we've seen recently in agricultural commodities in particular would, I think, generate some concern over food price inflation, and justifiably so. In my opinion, that's probably the biggest medium-term risk that we actually have right now. So, commodity price inflation plus very slow growth, albeit just above double dip recession levels, is a recipe for for stagflation. And if commodity prices moved too strongly, as one subscriber mentioned to me today in an email, that he felt that there would be a risk that the government would actually raise some of the margin requirements on commodity trading to try to curb that move overall. If the move is fundamentally driven, and I believe it is, then I don't think that it would have a big impact, but it would inevitably have some impact. It'll be interesting to see what happens in that in that area. Now, in terms of currencies overall, the US dollar is weakened against the yen here today, and we're back down to 85.07 yen to the US dollar. We had, of course, that big upward dynamic last week following the intervention, producing both a daily and, more importantly, a weekly upside key reversal. I feel that we'll need to see further intervention action extending the rally to really convince people that the Japanese government is not going to make just a tentative move in this direction. And a further rally would turn around the momentum trading signals for hedge funds and various other forex traders, and would almost certainly aid a self-feeding move. But we're not quite there yet, and as I say, I think we may well see further intervention, although that will not necessarily be announced as such. And on precious metals, there's a lot to like about today's action because here also we had a short-term overbought condition, and we saw a bit of profit taking. But when the Fed came in with that announcement that it was ready to do whatever was required to foster additional growth, the markets understandably concluded that that meant that interest rates were going to stay low and that there would be plenty of liquidity in the system. And I think they're certainly right in that score. That puts downward pressure on the US dollar and upward pressure on gold and silver as stores of wealth. So, interesting day in here. There's a lot going on. And there are a lot of opportunities here for both investors and traders as well. It'll be interesting to see what tomorrow brings. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.